If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. Thank you guys for joining us again on Talking Sense. I have Katie Carruthers back. She was with us last week, but if you missed that episode, she's built a following on TikTok, sharing her experience with loss, the emotions that go with that, and all of the chaos that comes with that. And last week, Katie, you shared your story about what got you started on this journey of sharing your experience on TikTok. I would love to know, what has been the most rewarding part of sharing that experience for you?
I think what's really cool about social media, and one of the reasons that I love it, is it connects you to people from all backgrounds, from all over the country, all over the world. And sharing my story has opened me up to comments of other people sharing their stories. Mm-hmm. And I get comments and messages all day, every day, of people who are going through the exact same thing I am, or maybe lost a loved one several years ago. And just being able to connect with those people at a time where I do feel alone, even though I'm not, or I may be having a particularly rough mental health day, because I'm only 3 months out from my mom passing. Every day is pretty rough. So when I can get online, share some of my story, and just see the love and support and relating that I can get from complete strangers, it reminds me that there are beautiful parts of the world.
Yeah. And there are so many emotions that go into this process of grieving and of loss. What I think shocked me was the number of tasks that also come with this. And that is going to be our focus for today. We're calling it the business of death, which was a comment you made when we were talking last time about that transition of realizing you couldn't just live in your grief for a moment. You had things to take care of. So when you talk about the business of death, what kind of made you wake up to the realization that you have that, and what kind of got you started on that?
Well, I mentioned it in the last episode, but we had to go into business mode before my mom even passed in the hospital. And that's still something that I grapple with every day and I think is very unfair. Mm-hmm. But what I've learned is that death is unfair and death is a business. As much as it, when you lose someone, you worry about the grief, you worry about what it's going to do to you mentally and how sad you're going to be. And while all of that is true, there's a business side that nobody talks about. And I have found myself mad that I wasn't prepared for it. There were so many things that my brother and I had to jump in and do just within days, within hours of my mom passing. And I had no idea that this would be my life until it happened. And I had family members pull us aside and say, here's a bunch of things that you have to do, and you have to do them now.
And it's good that you had some people to kind of guide you through that. I hate to use the word excited, but when our marketing director came to me and said, hey, there's this person I know who's been sharing this journey, and I think we need to have this on Talking Sense, there was a little bit of excitement in me, because I'm with you. When I lost my mom, I had no clue what I was walking into. And my dad was just beside himself. There was no way he was going to be able to take care of this stuff. So to have to step in, I didn't feel prepared. And there's so many things you learn in life, but this is one of those that I feel like just does not get talked about. So I was excited about being able to bring someone else on, partly because it's good to hear, like you said, other people who've gone through it and feel a little bit validated in my grief and in the unfairness of it all. And also to hopefully help someone else maybe get a jump start and be more prepared. And we were talking about just the tasks. One of the things that didn't even come on my radar that thankfully the funeral home encouraged us to do was get a lot of death certificates. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have thought one or two would have been plenty.
Right.
They said get at least 10 because everybody needs one. I mean,
yes. The funeral home we worked with, they were amazing. One of the directors actually turned out to be somebody I went to high school with that I didn't know about until after we had called them. And so just having that familiar face was great, but he walked us through everything. And a lot of people told us, it was kind of the opposite. some people told me to get 20 or 30 death certificates. And I have realized, at least from my experiences, that's a bit much. The funeral home suggested that we get 10 and they could easily order us more. So I don't want people to get so freaked out about needing a million death certificates that they order a ton. But yes, I would say 10 is such a good number. They told us 8 to 10. And the thing is, everybody will ask for one. Everybody wants one. But a lot of companies sent them back to us. Mm-hmm. So we still have gone through the 10. I think that's a really solid number.
And I don't know if you've had this experience, but it feels like anything that I had during that period, I'm terrified to get rid of. Mm-hmm. So I think I have like 7 of my mom's death certificates still sitting in an envelope at my house.
Absolutely.
And so save yourself from getting 30 because you're just going to want to keep them all anyway.
Yes, definitely get a filing cabinet. I have an accordion just to try and stay organized, but keep all that stuff together because you're going to need it for several months.
And with that, as far as things that I wouldn't have thought to keep, I kept her driver's license and her social security card because it had data that I could use.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And like you mentioned before, for those that don't know, the funeral home can provide those to you. You can also get them from the health department. I feel like the funeral home gets a better price if you just do it on the front end. So if you can get them then. The other thing that was just the one thing I dreaded the most was the notifications. You got to tell everybody.
Oh.
You got to relive that loss over and over and over, sometimes to strangers, sometimes to people that you care a lot about. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that process.
Well, I mean, it's awful. No, nobody enjoys it. You have the initial notifications when it happens, you know, the inner circle that needs to know, the family that needs to know. For me, it was really important to tell certain people, certain best friends of my mom, certain coworkers, that I wanted them to hear it from me. Now, unfortunately, we had an incident. It wasn't too crazy, but I, in my grief, was very upset. We had somebody put it on Facebook before we notified anyone. And I definitely did some TikTok rants about that. I have since down it put in a private group, but still, that's how some people found out before I even got the chance. So I wanted a few hours after my mom passed to just breathe and going to start making calls. But my phone was absolutely blowing up with calls and texts about people who had heard. And so my brother and I were in the hotel and I had to go out in the hallway and call people and let them know exactly what happened. And it was heartbreaking. On top of that, when you are dealing with the business of death, every company I have called, everyone, you have to explain. I have to start off every single phone call. Hi, my name is Katie. My mom passed away. Here's her information. And it rips out a piece of my soul every time. Do it. And sometimes you deal with very difficult companies that you have to call several times. There is one I have been dealing with for 3 months now. I have called them probably 20 times. And every single time I have to start it with, hi, my name is Katie. My mom passed away. Here is her information. And it's not fun.
And I've been the advisor who steps in for several clients. I told someone the other day, I've developed a bit of a niche market that I didn't intend to, and that's helping people when they've lost a family member, because you're right, there are some companies that it's like they don't get it. Mm-hmm. I've already lost a family member, just help me.
Right.
And I've had to step in, and I had one client who described me as a bulldog, but to be able to make that call on their behalf to save them some, you know, I can take some of those calls off of them and help them get the paperwork they need, or maybe they had an advisor who, well, they were mom's advisor, but they're not going to help you. Mm-hmm. It's been crazy, but to have to do that over and over again, and it doesn't stop after the first notification. Like you said, there's some of them you're calling 3, 4, 5 times because they're just not getting you what you need.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is just infuriating to me as an advisor and as a person who's been through this.
I say all the time, it's like all of these companies have never had someone die before. Mm-hmm. So when you call and let them know, they make it this big to do. They act like they don't know what to do. Some I think is on purpose, some isn't. But I got so confused because people die every day. Mm-hmm. And we definitely need more bulldogs like you, because it is a very not fun process.
I would say the only one that I felt like made it less painful was the VA, which usually government, you're thinking it's going to be way worse. But man, both my parents were veterans and they were so kind. They highlighted and tabbed and had someone bring it by that could take it back for me. But everybody else, you're right. And the other thing, though, to be careful of is they will shut things down. So if you've got access to someone's bank account and you're trying to take care of their stuff, I'm not going to propose that you not tell them, because I can't do that with my licensing. But do understand, you lose access the minute they're notified. They will shut it all down.
Am I allowed to tell them that since I don't have the licensing?
I'm going to say I can't agree with what you're saying, but you feel free to speak freely and we'll deal with the, if we have to take it off, we'll take it off.
Well, I won't say too much, but yes, so I didn't know that. And I didn't, I wondered if my brother and I were on my mom's account as PODs, payable on death. So I called her bank accounts and let them know so I could find out. Well, turns out we weren't, which makes things even more complicated. And the very next day, all of her accounts were shut down. We had access to nothing. And we had to wait until her estate account was open, which was a long process, before we could take care of any of the costs.
And to kind of talk through that, for an estate account to be opened, a probate case has to be opened. An administrator has to have been designated by the courts, which in your case, thankfully, you guys are agreeing on things. So that probably was more smooth. But you got to find a lawyer that'll take your case. You've got to get them in front of a judge. They've got to give you approval. And then you can start the process of getting things transitioned. So again, we're not telling you not to notify. But if you can talk with your family now, you mentioned something that I want to make sure people don't miss, that payable on death. You can't necessarily designate a beneficiary in the way that you would with like your employer plan or IRAs, but you can do what's called payable on death, which is designating your beneficiary on your bank accounts. And if you have after-tax investment accounts, you have to do what's called transfer on death. But if it doesn't have a beneficiary, then what you're saying is, hey, the state that I live in, y'all figure out who gets it, because I'm not going to tell you who does. So be careful to make sure those are in place before you walk this road. And you ask your parents, like, hey, I don't care if it's me or someone else, but do you have this, so that you don't have to deal with that being shut down? Because in my case, I still needed to make payments on a vehicle that we had to probate and a mortgage that we still needed to probate. And I had to take all that out of my pocket.
Yes.
Because there were no assets.
Right. From what I have learned just with posting on TikTok and talking about, I've begged people to put PODs on their bank accounts. So many people don't know about this. My mom did. They have no idea that you should go and do that. And so it's just one of those things, like the education of this is so important to me, because there's so many things that we don't know and we aren't being told. And that is one of them. Beneficiaries on everything you can put a beneficiary on, because the only situation and business that has been easy in this entire process was Arkansas teacher retirement. And because that was the only account my brother and I were beneficiaries on. And I think my mom had to put beneficiaries when she retired, but they made it so easy. They contacted us, they reached out to us, and the process was so simple because we were beneficiaries. Everything else has been like the wild, wild west. Yes. So I really want people to know about all these different things to do where it can transfer directly.
Yes. And then the next step, once you've made those notifications, is you've got to secure the assets and create an inventory. If you know you're going to have to probate the case anyway, getting that taken care of will save you time later. While you've got the time off from work, you know, maybe go ahead and just get a preliminary inventory together. And that includes assets, real estate, property, accounts. That's where having, we talked about earlier, we call it the Honey, I Love You file, that says like where things are, because, you know, my grandparents used to get paper statements on everything. My kids would be lost. I do not get paper statements for anything. So unless they, you know, knew my passwords, they would not be able to know what's out there in there that they need to go pursue. And so for me, you know, I keep a file that has all that information locked away. And then the funeral. Mm-hmm. Funeral's no fun.
No fun. And it's very expensive.
I was shocked. I was so shocked at how expensive it was. Now, with my mom, she just wanted to be cremated and hang on to her burial with my dad. We didn't expect to be burying him very shortly afterwards. But when we got to his, just the cost of everything was atrocious. And I was not ready for it.
Right. No, absolutely. Nor was I. I think I was so pessimistic at the time. I actually expected worse. It was still a lot of money. And because we didn't have her estate account set up, we paid for it out of pocket. Thankfully, credit cards exist, but not everybody has that luxury. And we were able to pay ourselves back once the estate account opened. But yeah, we needed to get the funeral home paid. And with the amount of time it takes to get an estate account open, those did not line up.
Mm-hmm. And there are some people who will prepay for those expenses. But if you don't know where they prepaid, if they haven't communicated that, then you may not know that it exists, because nobody's coming at you saying, "Ooh, hey, we've got this stuff that's taken care of." Nobody's going to volunteer that for you. And then probate. Next thing to do is probate. And there's so much that goes into that that I almost shudder to think about it. We're going to talk more about estate planning in the next one, so I'm going to belay some of that conversation. But then the last thing, I called it tidying up. You got to close accounts. You've got to make sure that nobody can open accounts in her name again or use accounts that were there, because I've heard of that where, you know, someone passes away and before the credit card company's been notified, other people are running charges.
That's crazy.
In families that are not as, you know, stable. Yeah, I had a friend who one of the brothers was doing that. So, you know, and then if you're the executor, you've got all that stuff to take care of with the distributions. So it's a lot. So we've talked about a lot here, but I'd love to get your final thoughts, Katie, on this topic of the business of death for those that are listening today.
Well, unfortunately, as I said earlier, death is a business and it's not something that you can avoid. You can't just jump straight into your grief. There are several things to take care of. And one big thing I would say is get your probate started as quickly as possible. Find a good lawyer who's hopefully going to take care of you. And that is what we did. My brother spearheaded that. We were able to start it within about 2 weeks of my mom passing. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, the clock starts and you've got about 6 months as far as creditors go. But I would say get things started quickly. But also, as you said earlier, if you need to take a day for yourself, take that day. The business is still going to be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's a really hard time and you have to take care of yourself in this process. So just balancing that to me is very important.
And I would say I wish I had known what I was walking into, because I would have had a conversation with my parents. Mm-hmm. And they would have had an estate in place. Like you said, your mom had already been through this chaos and was already starting that process herself. And I think we sometimes as the kids forget that there is an impact when you have a conversation with your parents and you say, "Listen, I've learned about this. I'm going to be really stressed out, but I would love for you to take some time to plan ahead so that I have less to manage." I think most parents would be happy to step in and do that. Again, this wasn't an exhaustive list, guys, but rather some tips to get you started if you're dealing with this or if you want to be more prepared in the future. Katie, I thank you so much for joining me. I know this is raw for you, and I appreciate the time you're spending with me. We've got one more episode where we're going to talk about the need for trust, but we haven't talked about what they are, and that's what we're going to get into in our next episode on Talking Sense. Join us next week. Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wolf team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wolf Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.